Most of the faces in key positions in the Oregon legislature's next session are the same faces in those positions from last session. Not a whole lot changed through the November election. House Minority Leader Mike McLean won re-election to his seat but opted not to return as the House's Republican leader. Democrats outnumber Republicans in the next House 35 to 25, so there are limits to what any Republican leader can do. Just the same, Representative Carl Wilson of Grants Pass, District 3, stepped up to take the minority leader's role. Representative Wilson is in his second stint in the legislature. He served for 4 years at the turn of the century and won election again 4 years ago. He's also a well-known voice in Josephine County as the owner of radio stations KAJO and KLDR. Thanks so much for joining us today, Representative Wilson.
Hey, Jeffrey, thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Take us back in time. You did serve in the legislature earlier and then got out. Did you think at that time that you'd ever want to go back?
No, I never dreamed I would be back. I must say, you know, with my grandchildren and grown children living in Salem, when I would come to visit, I'd feel a little nostalgic driving across Salem at night, seeing the dome lit and thinking, wow, boy, that was a long time ago. That was interesting. Nah, but I'd never do it again. But, you know, it turned out where I did.
So do you still have grandchildren in Salem?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Did that make it easier to go back?
Yes, there is some advantage to that. So, yes, I after a day of brutality in the Capitol, I enjoy going and having kids bouncing on my knee, you know.
Brutality in the Capitol, that's an interesting comment to start with. Explore that with us.
Well, you know, it's a difficult environment here all the time. And, you know, I go back to the time when I was in the majority back in the late 90s, and it was tough then. Back then, in those days, you'd typically have your heart broken by members of your own majority party. You didn't have to worry too much about the minority at that time. And here, I've had nothing but a minority experience, and, you know, we've collected our bruises along the way. I know the Democrats have their own management issues, having different kinds of Democrats in their caucus and having to deal with those needs. But, you know, when you're down to 22, like we are in the House Republican chamber, you probably can expect to catch a lot of elbows along the way.
Is that what the number is now, 22? I got that wrong, did I?
Yeah, it's 38-22 in the House now.
Okay, that really is a supermajority then for the Democrats.
Indeed.
So let me go back again in time. You must have chaired some committees then, or at least some subcommittees, when you were in the legislature with the Republicans in control in that first stint.
Yeah. In my very first term, I was, as a freshman, given a chair of a committee called General Government. And then as my second and third terms unfolded, I was the rules chair. And also I was the chair of redistricting back in those days in the 01 session. And if you remember looking back in the 01 session, it was, it was full of a lot of fireworks and a lot of interesting things, in that the Democrats left the Capitol for a week rather than to, as I recall, face a redistricting vote, and which was fait accompli at that time. And so, yeah, I got my experience chairing back in those days.
Wow. So compare then the two periods of party control in your two times in the House. I mean, is either party in power any more accommodating to the one out of power from your experience?
You know, I think it's all about the same. I when I see how we've been treated as a minority, I look back in our days as a majority, and, you know, we did a lot the same things. You know, there are a lot of good relationships in this whole process. I think just so the leaders continue to talk and are not full of animus toward one another, I think that can help a lot. I have, a reasonably good relationship with Tina Kotek, Speaker of the House, and Jennifer Williamson, the Majority Leader. So, I think we can make things go better by remaining civil through the session. But to get back to your question, no, I think the treatment the majority typically deals out is fairly typical from time to time.
Well, in this case, of course, as we mentioned, Democrats have votes to spare. They can lose quite a few votes and still manage to pass legislation with no Republican votes. It doesn't sound like a whole lot of incentive for them as the majority party to reach across the aisle, as the term goes.
Well, true. I think on any given day, they can do pretty much what they want. Now, you know, they may have some members in their own caucus who don't want to go where their speaker wants to take them on certain tax votes, because interestingly enough, some of the members of the Democratic chamber were elected out of districts that voted for Donald Trump. And so, you know, they're kind of looking back when they vote sometimes wondering, wow, is this is this something I should do or not? So that will be a an issue that I think they face and that they'll have to deal with, because I know they have a lot of tax votes in the queue, and I have a feeling that certain members of their caucus will not want to go in those places.
Representative Carl Wilson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is from Grants Pass, Oregon House District 3. He's now the minority leader in the Oregon House, and it's quite a minority, 22 Republicans against 38 Democrats in the House. Join the conversation. Have questions for Representative Wilson about the conduct of the legislature or just how things work generally or what it's going to be like as the minority leader. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So when you're in, I want to really get to some of the nitty gritty things that people may not understand about the workings of the legislature. I mean, when you're in the minority party, do you get to even introduce bills and get them brought to committee and all that stuff?
Well, you do. You can introduce any bill you want, but actually getting a hearing on those bills is another story altogether. I've not had a terrible time getting my bills heard over time. Some of them, but, you know, I have to go back and say many of my bills involved industrial hemp, something that I've been extremely active in for the last 4 years. And so bills like that that the Democrats think are good will not only get a hearing, but will pass some, which is frankly exciting. But there are bills that might shock Democrats' sensibilities at times, and you can look forward to not hearing those bills. Hey, and Jeffrey, one thing I wanted to mention, and you may be one of the first to know, and that is that the Senate Republicans had their vote for leadership last night, and they elected Herman Mertziger
from Grants Pass.
Yeah, as the majority or minority leader on the Senate side.
Well, that's so great for Grants Pass. You've got the minority leaders in both houses there.
That is unusual.
Bertziger. Okay, yeah, that is really unusual. Well, congratulations to Senator Bertziger. We'll have to get him on to talk about what's going on. And thanks for passing that along.
Sure.
So when you're working as the minority leader and trying to keep your caucus together and trying to do good for the people of Oregon, I mean, how do you split the difference between working for and with your party and trying to take care of the public's good? You know, because there are certain things, for example, you could work with the Democrats to make better bills, but does that help you politically?
Yeah. No, it doesn't sometimes. You know, when you have a choice on difficult bills for your caucus, and that is to resist them and go down in flames, or to work with them, try to polish them. And that is that's an issue that a minority party is always going to face. You really do reach a fork in the road where you have to make those two decisions. And, you know, those are things that we face all the time. And now and then we will join. As an example, you know, as we look at some of the bills last time around, the pay equity bill ultimately passed out of both chambers unanimously. And that was a case of everybody working together, the Republicans saying, hey, let's try to make a bad bill better. And so those are choices that you have to make on a fairly regular basis, either to resist and die or go along and try to make something better, and at risk of your base not appreciating the dynamics in what you did.
Mike McLean from Powell Butte is still in the House, as we pointed out. Won re-election. He represents part of Klamath County in his district and outgoing as the minority leader. What kinds of advice did he give you about this job?
You know, that you're going to be tired all the time, and it is a job that is going to be taxing in every way you can possibly imagine. You know, it's my apologies to submariners in World War II, but sometimes being in the minority is kind of like being in a submarine taking a good depth charging on a fairly regular basis. Very difficult. And Mike has indicated that, you know, that's the life that you face as a minority leader.
Was he invited to leave because of certain votes? I noticed, for example, that HB 2017, the big transportation package, he voted for it, you voted against it. Was that sort of thing part of why he's no longer the minority leader?
No, really not. He faced no repercussions that I'm aware of over that or any other vote as the minority leader. He felt it was just time to go. I think he was disappointed that we had been losing seats for the last couple of cycles and just felt that it was time for another perspective, perhaps another person, another leadership team at the helm.
We are talking to State Representative Carl Wilson from District 3, Grants Pass, who is serving in the Oregon legislature in his second stint. He got reelected after a first set of terms back at the turn of the century back in 2014, got reelected this time, and has just been elected House Minority Leader as well, which is a mixed blessing. With 22 Republicans and 38 Democrats, it's quite the minority. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions for Representative Wilson about the doings of the legislature or his part in that, welcome here at the exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a question from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning. Good morning, Carl. Last time I saw you, it was Si Casa Flores, or excuse me, Costa Amiga. And congratulations also to Herman. I'm concerned about the sexual harassment stuff that seems to be keep popping up in the legislature, and I'd like to know what's going on with that. I'm totally confused. I thought we'd gotten past all of that years and years and years ago. And congratulations on your election. I'll take comments off the air.
All right, thank you, Paul. Great. Appreciate it.
Paul, thank you. This has been a tough thing for everybody, and I think what we've really realized along the way is that the rules that the House of Representatives has gone by for a number of years just strictly is not sufficient. We just simply have to do better. When looking at the responses from Tina Kotek, the Speaker, and Peter Courtney, the President of the Senate, I do believe that they were genuinely concerned that the fact that those who had come forward to complain about harassment were going to have their names exposed. And I honestly believe that was their chief concern. I don't think it was to hide anything, to hide any level of problem in this body. I believe they were genuine in wanting to try to protect the names. It's not clear that that's going to happen at this point in time, and the names could be exposed. I know it's under a protective order right now that Boley has, but I think the concern that leadership has, and I'm speaking of Courtney and Kotek here, is that if the names are exposed as a result of this action, a number of other people are not wanting, will not want to come forward. As far as the atmosphere itself, it is apparent that we're still not getting it here, and I think that without a doubt, we've got to refine our policies so we get it right. It's just time to get it right.
Is the atmosphere markedly different? You're one of the few people who had a chance to be out of the legislature for close to 15 years, well, 12 years anyway. How big a difference was that to come back in the door again?
You know, Jeffrey, I think in comparing my two stints, it was probably worse the last time around than it is now. I think it was much more freewheeling back in those days. There were a lot of things that used to happen there that I don't see anymore, and that is that there used to be stories of booze closeted in various offices and things like that. And, you know, I don't see that any longer. So I would say definitely it was more freewheeling in all kinds of ways back in those days than it is today. There are some amazing stories that happened before I even got here of people going down and drinking in their cars in the parking garage. I mean, this was back in the 80s and maybe even before, but stories that were told many times over. So interestingly enough, I think as far as the conditions of harassment, it's probably better now, as bad as it apparently is. It's as, you know, it was a lot worse back in earlier days.
But boy, what a situation when you've got the head of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, Boley, Brad Avakian, essentially taking the legislature to court and saying, turn over your records.
Yeah, that was a very interesting prospect. I know initially no one thought that Boley had any jurisdiction whatsoever in the legislative branch, but apparently they do. And you know, frankly, in looking at it all, I think that's probably a good idea.
Let us take a look at some of the priorities you would like to see addressed in the next session of the legislature. We can certainly start with the governor's proposed budget. I assume you've had a look at that.
I've had a look at it. It's obviously a huge document. There are just a number of things that that concern me. I guess the initial thing that concerns me, Jeffrey, is the proposed $2 billion in new taxes. We really don't know what the governor has in mind to raise those taxes. We've seen some things we think that she might do. But I think our biggest concern in this process is the fact that I know that we all try to engage in personal thrift in our own households, and that is that we try to survive an occasional too much month at the end of the money. But for the state of Oregon, we don't live by those common principles of thrift, and that is we have a situation here where we are dragging in more tax receipts than we ever have before. And, I mean, it's coming in hand over fist in spite of the fact that we may have a recession coming in 2020 or a little bit beyond that. I mean, we may have that. But I think our chief concern really is the fact that we're dragging in income like we never have before. We're spending right up to the max and more, and we're asking for $2 billion or more. It has even been said by some of the people in the majority party that $2 billion isn't enough. But you reach a certain point where you just ask yourself, as you look at your own situation at home, does this make sense that we would constantly be spending up to the max all the time? And when we run out of that, we keep asking for more. And, you know, we can't live that way personally, and I don't think we can live that way as a state. And, you know, when we rack up that much roll-up cost and that much debt, you know, it's going to be an ugly crash one of these days when it happens. And I think that's my initial concern as I look at what the governor wants at this point.
Representative Wilson, we do have the situation, though, where ballot measure 5 cut property taxes and required the state budget then to then make whole the school districts, essentially requiring a lot more money out of the state budget for schools. And that's been going on for getting close to 30 years now without any replacement revenue really being added to the budget. I mean, at some point, should that discussion come up? I mean, obviously the governor is proposing it, but I mean, this is something that seems to have been pretty much diametrically opposed by Republicans every time.
Well, it typically is because, you know, Republicans tend to believe there has to be a limit to your spending. And, you know, our income is continuing to climb. It truly is. There is a roll-up cost, I think, in the new biennium, that's caseload and inflation and all of that, of something like $600 million. But we're, you know, we've taken in more than that. And so we just are trying to, as a minority party, just kind of jump and shout and wave our arms and say, you know, this is getting to be very difficult for the taxpayers. And by the way, the taxpayers are the only ones who are never really represented in the discussion. Everybody else is, but the taxpayers are not. And so we simply try to jump up and shout and say, hey, there are tough days coming. Let's reprioritize our spending, because budgeting is always about priorities. It always is. It's that way with me, and I know it would be that way with you. And so we're dragging in a tremendous amount of money. Our all funds budget is absolutely huge. So can't we prioritize this where we do right by schools? And there are just some things that are going to have to go. You know, as I look at Dennis Richardson's audits over the last couple of years, there are just so many things that are never, never addressed, and that concerns me. And then when we blow large amounts of money, like on the Columbia River crossing, we look at numerous IT projects that have failed and gone down in flames. The Cover Oregon website, you know, where you lose $300 million, we just kind of treat that as nothing. Well, we screwed up again, so let's back up and ask for more money. And that seems to be the thing that aggravates me and my colleagues most of the time.
We are talking to Representative Carl Wilson from Grants Pass. He is the new House Minority Leader in the Oregon House, leading 22 Republicans in a House that has 38 Democrats. He is in District 3. We also learned from him just a few moments ago that Senator Herman Bertschiger from Grants Pass is going to be the Senate Minority Leader in this session. You can join us as we talk to Representative Wilson about the priorities in front of the legislature as it convenes in January of 2019. 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We're just talking about the budget. Obviously, an increasing amount of the budget has to be diverted to public employee pensions. That seems to squeeze everything else. Can you see a way around the pension setup and the requirement to backfill the shortfall that would pass a court challenge?
You know, I just learned something at the Oregon Business Summit the other day, and that is coming from a fellow by the name of Tim Nesbitt. I've known Tim for many years. Back in the day, he was the president of Oregon AFL-CIO.
And he's a PERS expert. We've had him on.
Oh, yeah, excellent. Well, you know, the thing is, he and a friend of his have come up with something that could actually make a difference. Is it going to make up the whole difference? No, but it certainly would make a difference. And that is important to us. And you know, just a couple of the small details on this, it would allow state workers to continue collecting a pension while continuing to work for up to 5 years, but the worker would trade a high pension in fewer year, or in future years for cash now, and then 6% of the worker's salary would go to paying down the pension debt, and the employer's PERS payment would also pay down the debt. So, you know, it's something new, it's something different. We think it can pass a court challenge, but more than anything else, Jeffrey, I think the deal is it would state from the executive branch, okay, we've heard you. Before we start talking about more money for this and that, we will give you this, and that is that we need to take care of the 800-pound gorilla here, which is PERS, and the governor has not talked about that over the last couple of years when people have been crying out for that. And so if this plan, if she endorses this plan, at least it would say, before I say, trust me with more of your money, I'm willing to engage in cost controls. And that would be only reasonable, I think, for the taxpayers. They would love to hear that as the state begins to make many, many different tax asks along the way, that they're willing to say, first of all, okay, we've heard you. We've got to take care of PERS. We've got to do everything we legally can. Let's give this a go. And I think that would make some people feel a lot better about all the different taxing schemes that are beginning to surface as we near opening day of session.
I have time really for one more question. And apologies to Sandy and Ashland. I'm not going to put your call in the air, but I'll get the essence of what the ask is, which is what's being done about climate change in the legislature? What do you support?
Well, personally, I have a great problem with climate change legislation. My biggest concern is, first of all, that I think that my constituents understand fully that the greatest danger that they suffer from breathing our atmosphere anymore in Southern Oregon is smoke that's literally killing us, and nobody seems to want to do anything about it. And when I say that, I'm talking about our federal politicians, because their constituents are actually being made sick by this. I think that when my constituents tend to look at carbon in the Oregon atmosphere, they're not impressed with a large amount of that. They're not. But they do realize that they're going to be the ones who are asked to pay the bill when the carbon tax is due to be paid. And so I can tell you what the Democrats are trying to do. They're trying to do a carbon tax, mm-hmm. and the Republicans are extremely skeptical because our constituents know that they're the ones who are going to wind up paying the bill.
Okay, Representative Carl Wilson, you got the cue music very well. Thanks for joining us.